Let me introduce you to the person who you'll be sharing the next 30 to 45 minutes with. Mark is someone who absolutely has created his life by design. He believes very strongly in the law of attraction, and anyone who's spent time with Mark knows how adamant he is about the things that come out of his mouth, what he says, and what he thinks about. And it's really interesting because being friends with Mark and being business partners with him, I've been able to observe just kind of firsthand, forget all the theoretical stuff out there, but just watching how he really deals with people. And when people make a negative comment, I hear him often ask people, is that what you want to create? And he does that in order to help keep people focused and focus their energy on what they want to have happen in their life. So many times people stay focused on the things they don't want to have happen in their life, and Mark knows how important the law of attraction is. He's trained thousands of the top achievers to create their life purpose and vision for themselves, and so tonight he's going to share his experience with you. So again, please get yourself in a very quiet spot where you can focus 100% on tonight's training call. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn the call over to my great friend, Mark Scovern. Take it away, Mark.
Hey, Jeff, thank you very much. You're very generous, and I appreciate the accolades and credentials that you provided. Thanks for opening the call. Great job on the announcements. Everything is training. You know, it's interesting. I was speaking with one of my dearest friends that I've been friends with the longest on the planet, Martha Kemper, this week and the past few days, and I had my training all set. I mean, the whole three-part series was all done, and the notes have been carved out for a while. And she reminded me of some quotes and some different paradigms, and I actually incorporated those in the beginning of the training. And I see she's on the call tonight, so I want to welcome Martha also, and I want to dedicate this call, actually, to Martha and Dan Kemper, two of the people on the planet that have made the biggest difference on the planet. You know, when it comes to what Jeff was saying, Jeff was introducing me, and he said that I'm someone, I can't remember the exact words, but someone who is aware that, you know, about being on purpose, about creating my life. You know, the interesting thing is I've become aware, very aware, that we're all creating our lives. We're all creating every moment of our lives, day by day, moment by moment, hour by hour. The only question is whether or not you're awake to it or not. And that is really a sobering idea, isn't it? That you're creating every moment, and it's just a matter of whether or not you're awake to it. I'm going to cover a topic tonight, a part of a topic, the second installment of this three-part series. And the series, of course, is called Reignite Your Passion for Business and Life. And tonight's session, session two, is Create Your Life Purpose and Vision Statement. Then next week, the third installment, we're going to be speaking about creating the plan to guarantee its achievement. So we're going to be breaking those things down for you. What I encourage you to do, as Jeff said, is have a paper and pen and be taking notes tonight. And you're also not going to just need the paper and pen to take notes, but actually to complete some of the exercises I'm going to walk you through with the training tonight. And then if you don't get part of the training, if you can't take notes fast enough, don't get frustrated. Just jot down what you can in bullet form. And by sometime tomorrow, you'll be able to go to the Max Group training site and be able to play the archived or recorded version. You can listen to it over and over as many times as you want to. You know, it's my sincere desire that tonight's training just makes such a big impression on you about the responsibility that we all have for living our life to the fullest, because no one else, quite frankly, is as interested in your life as you are. You've got to get that. See, no one else, no other human, is as interested in your life as you are. We're all the center of our own universe. And, you know, we have loved ones. We have husbands, wives, spouses, spousal equivalents, partners, sons, daughters, parents. But when it comes down to it, you know, we are responsible for our own walk on the planet. You know, when Martha and I were talking this past week, we were talking about some excerpts from one of Wayne Dyer's books. Wayne Dyer is, Martha and I share many things, and one of the things we share is that our appreciation for Wayne Dyer and his writing and his delivering material in a way that people can digest it that just makes such a big difference. And I wanted to start out with the three categories of people, the three places that people come from, the three paradigms that people actually live their life from. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, so I request that you absorb this as quickly as you can, get it down on paper, And I'm going to tell you that there are three people, there are three types of people, three types of places from which people do live their lives. The first category are people that are in the mode of suffering. They're in suffering mode. By the way, this is an awful lot of people on the planet. And I'm not being demeaning or mean or looking down or being better than. I'm not being anything about that. I'm just identifying that there are a lot of people that are categorized regularly by their victimhood. These are people that normally would be and act in a way that they're not at cause for their life. These are people that would display verbiage, their communication with you would let you know that they believe, they truly believe that life is just happening to them constantly, and they're interpreting it. They believe that's all the power that they have. People that are suffering or in victimhood mode are people that are equivalent to being on a ship that is out in the water in the middle of a huge storm, and they're just being tossed to and fro from side to side, and perhaps, you know, getting wet and becoming ill and being injured and all the different things, and life is just happening to them. Not a lot of power in that kind of living. Not a lot of power in that kind of paradigm. If you're on the phone tonight and you're listening to me and maybe you identify with that kind of a paradigm, stick with me and let's see if we can't bring you along to something that will be a little more enjoyable for you. The second paradigm, the second place that people live their life from is a place of outcome. Place of outcome. Outcome are people that live their life in order to. So in other words, these are people that do this in order that they can do this. They do this in order that they can have this. They do this in order that they can get this. By the way, I think probably the vast majority of people either live in this paradigm permanently or go in and out of it at least occasionally or frequently. We do this in order to get this. You say, well, that's rather elementary. Mark, how else would you live life? And that's how we do it. We go to work so we can get a paycheck, so we can pay the electric and food bills. So, and what's wrong with that? Didn't say there was anything wrong with it. Just recognize the distinction and see that that is a particular way of living, and it's a particular way of viewing your life, and it's a particular way of viewing the things that go around you, because then I'm going to give you something else here. I'm going to give you the third paradigm in a minute. But this portion of people, and by the way, a lot of high achievers, a lot of really big-time achievers in business, in industry, athletes, you know, television or whatever, any kind of media superstar, a lot of people live in outcome. I'll do this in order to. I call it in order to, all right? I'll get mine. A lot of times they'll be, I'll get mine, good luck getting yours. You say, well, a lot of those people live their life in order to help other people. Well, you're exactly right about that. You're precisely correct. Remember, I didn't say there was anything wrong with it. I'm just saying that it's a particular paradigm. The third place that people live their life from, and this is all going to play into our train tonight, creating your life purpose and vision statement. The third paradigm, the place that people live their life from, is a place of purpose. Purpose. See, people that live life from a specific purpose or several purposes, but they're on target, they're living life on purpose from a mission. It's something bigger than them that calls to them. Okay? So perhaps you're feeling congruency in your spirit right now. Perhaps this is resonating with you because you live your life on purpose. You live your life part of it, at least on purpose. By the way, a lot of people that live their life on purpose are still going to access in order to or outcome. There's going to be some backward and forward mobility there. Nothing wrong with any of that. But the most powerful things that will occur on the planet, the most powerful people in the world, really are people who live their life from a purpose. Now, I'm going to say that this purpose is always going to be spiritual in nature, but I want to be very clear with you. I'm not defining that as religious. I'm not defining it as any particular religion or belief. And how you get there is up to you. But I do believe that it is spiritual in nature. That's my own personal belief. Even though it may not always show up that way. I've known some people who weren't very religious at all. I've known some people who didn't go to any kind of temple of worship or church or synagogue or anything, but were tremendously spiritual. And this is definitely a life by choice in all circumstances. For the longest time, I've had one phrase that I've used over and over again, and that's that I'm committed to making a profound and lasting difference in the lives of everyone that I meet and touch. And it's not really my line. It's something that I got out of a seminar all the way back in 1987. When I was speaking to Martha a few days ago, she told me a new paradigm she was living from, and I was excited about it. And so I borrowed some of her words and then installed some of mine. I inserted some of my words that were more applicable to me and from where I wanted to come from. And this would be the kind of affirmation that a person who's attempting to live their life as much on purpose and from purpose as possible would come from instead of outcome. And so I want to read it to you. I live my life abundantly in all areas. I always leave everyone with whom I come in contact with the gift of increase. Isn't that fantastic? I didn't write it. I took part of what a friend gave me, and I borrowed something I heard from someone else, and I took something from a book, and I took something from a CD, and I put it all together. And what I got was, I live my life abundantly in all areas. See, that covers everything. It covers health and career and wealth and spirituality and family and friends, relationships. Covers all of it. And I always leave everyone with whom I come in contact with the gift of increase. And I love how it says the gift of increase at the end, because you know what it does for me? It reminds me, if I'm being true to that calling, if I'm being true to that word, if I'm being true to that purpose, it reminds me that that's my gift to them, but that is my self-chosen purpose. Okay, I choose that. I choose it. I choose it, and guess what? Because I choose it, it chooses me back. Now, let's get into this a little deeper, this creating your life purpose and vision statement. And it's important that you understand there's a little bit of difference in life purpose, creating a life purpose and vision statement and goals. You know, those people that have known me for a long time know that I've been a big goal setter for years and years and years, for a very long time. I've kept journals for 25 or 30 years, maybe more. And I've been into goal setting. I take that time of the year seriously, and that's always been a big part of my life. And then I came into this awareness that there's something distinctly different other than goal setting, although it's an integral part of goal setting, but that it should be done first. Now, did you ever wonder why you have goals? There's a lot of people on the line that have goals tonight listening to us, and maybe you have goals, maybe you've had New Year's resolutions, and maybe you've had the same ones year after year after year, and you haven't accomplished them. And, you know, you're going to want to be on tonight's session, the whole thing, and then next week, because tonight's session is going to be all about life purpose and vision statement, and then next week we're going to get into more of the actual goal-setting part. But I want to draw the distinction for you, and something that I have discovered is this. It's been right under my nose the whole time, and that's that goal-setting is not the first step that you should be taking. Do you know that actually having goals, just like sitting down and writing goals, can actually set you up for failure? Never thought that I'd find myself saying that. It could do that unless you're coming from life purpose and vision. See, your goals are secondary at best. They're going to be something more of a step-by-step map of how to achieve your life purpose and vision. See, I used to just set goals. Like I said, I did it all the time until I understood the correct order of things. In other words, your goals should be checkpoints. Let me give you an example. I live in Tampa Bay, Florida. Now, let's say that I want to go to my hometown of Baltimore, Maryland, right? And I want to see my family and out there. And let's say that I'm going to drive. Don't think I'd do that, but let's say that I'm going to drive from Tampa to Baltimore. Okay, I've done it before. It's a long drive. So let's say that I either go to AAA or I go to MapQuest or I go to one of the services and I pull down the directions to make sure I get there. I know how to get there. I could drive it with my eyes closed. It's a pretty easy route. But let's say that I pulled it up. Well, guess what MapQuest or AAA is going to tell me? They're going to say I have to start out in Tampa and I have to go to Jacksonville. Okay? I have to get up to Jacksonville, Florida. Now, from Jacksonville, I have to find my way to Savannah, Georgia. Savannah, Georgia is going to take me up through South Carolina, then to North Carolina. From North Carolina, I'm going to go into Virginia, and then I'm going to go into Washington, D.C. for a very short period of time, and up to Annapolis, Maryland, where I'm going to get a road, and I'm going to go all the way up into Baltimore. Now, why did I tell you that? Because none of you are planning to drive from Tampa to Baltimore, are you? Listen, here's why. When I start out my trip, my goal was not to get to Baltimore. My first goal was to get to Jacksonville. You see, these are checkpoints. See, if I can't get to Jacksonville, then I'm very likely not going to be able to find my way to Baltimore. Okay? You can say, well, you can go a different way, right? But that's a different goal. That's a different checkpoint. And we often have to do that, by the way. We often have to reset our goals, don't we? We often hit an obstacle and we have to change our path, have to change our course, have to pull maybe a new map quest up, look at it again. But my point is, it's not all about goals. Goals are very important, by the way, not downplaying the importance of goals. I'm still a big goal setter, but coming from purpose, okay? See, goals are best accomplished when fueled by your passion. You will have much more success in accomplishing any goal you want to accomplish as long as it's fueled by your life purpose and your passion and your vision, okay? This is why you must define your life purpose and vision, and we're going to be doing that in tonight's training. And without a mission, a crusade, a real purpose, your goals will yield much more quickly to obstacles. We don't like obstacles, do we? What are obstacles? Obstacles are things that get in their way. I heard somebody say one time, obstacles are anything that you see when you take your eye off of the goal. You know, I want to revise that. I think obstacles are anything you see anytime you take your eye off your life purpose or your vision, all right? Because as long as you have your eye, as long as you're connected, as long as you have connectivity to your life purpose and your vision, as long as you're really tapped into the source, and what's going to happen is you're going to redirect. I drive a big SUV, and it's got a navigation system in it, like most automobiles do today. And the navigation system, don't you love the navigation system? If you change your mind or you turn off the road or you decide to pull in 7-Eleven for a cup of coffee, I mean, the thing just keeps correcting you and correcting you and correcting you. I always expect, make a legal U-turn when possible. You guys have all heard this, right? Make a legal U-turn when possible. I always expect by the third time it's going to say, if you're not going to listen to me, stupid, I'm going to stop giving you directions. But it doesn't do that. It keeps going on and on and on, right? And that's really what a life will be like, being lived from a point of passion, from a point of life purpose and vision, because your internal navigation system will constantly reset your goals and constantly keep you on track. And that's where you want to be. One of my favorite quotes in the entire world was said by someone that I don't think I'd like very much if I met him in person back in the day, Napoleon. I don't necessarily think he was a good guy. I'm not the judge of that, but doesn't seem like he was. From the history books, didn't treat him very well. But Napoleon said, "I see only the objective, the obstacles must give way." Isn't that powerful? I see only the objective, the obstacles must give way. All right, let's get into the meat of how to create and how you can find out what your life purpose is and vision statement. Okay, on your paper and with your pen there, turn to a fresh page. You have a fresh piece of paper in front of you. Okay, you're going to start at the bottom of the page, and basically I'm going to get you to identify 3 points. You're going to identify A, B, and C up the middle of the page. You're not going to be over to the left. You're going to be in the middle of the page, and you're going to kind of space them evenly, okay? And you're going to just write them, you know, about the size of a dime or whatever on one whole page there. It's going to give you a diagram, something for you to look at, something for you to visualize so that I can get an image imprinted in your mind that's going to really, really excite you and help you out a lot. So just a couple of lines up from the bottom, because you're going to want B to be in the middle of the page, right? So a few lines up from the bottom, you're going to write A, the letter A like apple. And about the middle of the page, you're going to write B like boy. And up at the top, but not quite at the very top, you're going to write C. So it's A, B, and C going up the page. Now what you want to do is over to the left of A, just over to the left, write the word know, K-N-O-W. It's as if I know something or I know someone. And over to the right, you want to write present or likely results. Over to the right, write present or likely results. Let's get this finished drawn out, and then we're going to go flying through here. To the left of B, you're going to write plan, as if, like, I have a plan. Now, to the right, you're going to write the words, I think. To the left of C, you're going to write the word fantasy. It's not Fantasy Island like the old TV series, but it is the word fantasy, okay? It's fantasy for C. And over to the right, you're going to want the word. You're going to write the words, I want. All right, let's go through these three types of goals and or affirmations, because they kind of start to blend in and become almost like the same thing. We're going to delineate them again and make the difference, show you what the differences are in a few minutes. But let's go through this with you really quickly and kind of make some notes, kind of like around the area that I'm talking about. Let's see, there at the bottom, A-type affirmations are things that you already know how to do. See, you write the word know there. So you already know how to do them. You mostly know how to do them. And if you don't know how to do them, you know that you could find out how to do them very quickly. You may want to be able to make a certain type of cake. You don't know the recipe, but you know you can get on the internet or a cookbook and get one, okay? So you know that you can do it. So that's either a present result or a likely result. So these are things you already know. They don't require much creativeness, invention, or stretching of the mind, okay? Which also means there's not much personal growth in their accomplishment, right? Not much personal growth there. Now, I'm going to give you some examples, and please don't anyone be insulted. Just kind of roll with the punches here, and I'm going to give you – these are just three perfect examples, I think, for ABC goals to kind of get to the idea here. See, an example of an A-type affirmation or objective or goal, it might be to become a power team leader. Anyone can become a power team leader. I'm not saying that you can do it. You got to put some effort toward it. You got to get it done. But you know how to become a power team leader. Really, we have a lot of power team leaders on the phone already tonight. Congratulations. And you know how to do that. And it's either your present result or it's a likely result if you just do a few things, right? So that would be an A type of goal in our business, right? Let's talk about or affirmation. Let's talk about B-type affirmations and goals, okay? Because so at this part of our exercise, affirmations and goals are blending into one because we're going to do that through the training tonight. We're going to blend them in and separate them. B-type affirmations, it's a goal you think you can do, okay? You might have to plan it. That's the, see the word plan there? It might require somewhat of a plan. You might have to map out a few things. You might have to get on MapQuest. You might have to get MapQuest or the navigation system of your mind going. You might have to list some things how to do it. They're going to cause you to stretch maybe a little bit, you know. Requires implementation. You might have to change your priorities, change your scheduling around a little bit. Like for instance, earning Coach's Corner in our company. It's probably a B-type affirmation, right? In other words, it's not going to take you 5 years to get to Coach's Corner, right? You know, so but you may not get there in 1 or 2 days. We've had people do it in the same day, by the way. But you may not get there in the same day or two, a week, or might take you a couple of months. That's all fine. It's still worth doing. It's still worth getting there. But that's a B-type of goal in my mind. It's a goal that you might need a plan for. You think you can do it. You kind of can see how you can do it. It calls for your action. It calls for something you to do that you're perhaps not on track for right at this moment. But there's still only a modest amount of inspiration in a B-type goal, okay? Now, by the way, it's going to be awesome to achieve any B-type objective, goal, or affirmation. You should celebrate them. You know, you do that, you get Coach's Corner. You know, we're excited about that, sincerely, authentically. Hooray. We're going to congratulate you on that. But it's not going to cause you to really come out of yourself and be something that – it's not life-changing is what I'm saying, okay? Modest amount of inspiration at best. Now let's talk about C-type affirmations, objectives, and goals. And here's what I want you to know. Here's where the magic really is. Here's where you need to live. Here's where I'm going to challenge you. Here's tonight where I'm going to pull your strings. Here's tonight where I might push your buttons like I've never pushed them before. I'm doing it out of love, really. I hope you stick with the call. Here's where the magic of your life is. C-type affirmations, objectives, and goals. And that's where you get to ask yourself, what do I really want? What do I really want? Like if you take the lid off, if you take the brakes off, if you stop being reasonable, what would happen if you stopped being so reasonable? Think about that for a moment. What do I really want out of life? That's why the word fantasy is there. What do you want in terms of income? What about in terms of your love interests? What about the kind of automobile you drive? What about the kind of lifestyle you live? What about the kind of vacations that you take? What about the kind of home you live in? What about the things you're able to do for the people that mean the most to you and that you love? By the way, if it's a C-type affirmation, objective, or goal, you're not going to quite know how to get it. See? because by the nature of the fact that it's a C-type affirmation, it's a fantasy, it's the highest end, it means you're dealing with wants here. And by the way, it's okay to be a little selfish. It's all in the balance of things, okay? We want you to go ahead and deal with fantasy. Now, fantasy, let me tell you something. Fantasy is where all life-changing, planet-changing achievement comes from. The Wright brothers, okay? Who thought about planes before? I mean, you know, the ability to fly. Thomas Edison, right? Martin Luther King. What a great guy he was. Not a lot of people thought so. A lot of opposition, a lot of obstacles. What did he say? He stood up and said, I have a what? Everybody, one of the most famous lines in the world. I have a what? I have a dream. You got to believe that that was a dream back then, right? For different races to commingle and get along. But what did he say? It was a fantasy. He didn't call it a fantasy. He should have called it a fantasy. He said, I have a dream that one day, right? Isn't that powerful? See, it takes people like that. Henry Ford, you know, there's a great story. Early in the age of the automobile, Ford decided to produce his now famous V8 motor. Did you know that was the Ford motor, okay, the V8 block? He chose to build an engine with the entire 8 cylinders cast in one block. It had never been done before. And he instructed his engineers to produce a design for the engine. Well, the design was put on paper, but the engineers all agreed, every one of them, that it was simply impossible, and that was the word they used with Mr. Ford, being in his employ. They told him it's just impossible to cast an 8-cylinder gas engine block in one piece. Ford looked at them and said calmly, produce it anyway. But they replied, but it's impossible. Go ahead, Ford commanded, and stay on the job until you succeed, no matter how much time is required. Now, you know, this is the point where most men and women would fail to even try, because they couldn't even perceive the possibility of such a monumental task. Ford left his engineers no option, except for perhaps the option of quitting or getting fired, and so they went to tackle the task, even though they thought that it was impossible. Impossible. Produce it anyway. He checked with them in 6 months. We're working at it, sir, but it still seems impossible. Go ahead, then, he said. Keep at it till you do it. Checked with him 6 months later and a few months later, and in 1932, what happened? But the V8 was introduced. And amazing, it's taken for granted today. You know, Napoleon Hill, the author of Think and Grow Rich, when he was telling that story in his book by the same title, is a gentleman that we've all heard about and all admire greatly. I don't know if you know this. When he read that story, or actually he heard that story because he was in touch with Henry Ford himself, Napoleon Hill took his dictionary and he turned to the word impossible. And a lot of people don't know this, but the story is told that he cut the word impossible and its definition out of his dictionary. Isn't that great? So what you're dealing with here are fantasies, okay? Now, what may be earning director, maybe. Perhaps earning director. Now, why have such powerful C-type affirmations and goals? Because here's why. Your life happens from the inside out and not the outside in. Ladies and gentlemen, only victims live a life from the outside in. And we've already established that you don't want to be a victim. You don't want to be a suffering person, suffering paradigm. Powerful affirmations, objectives, and goals will fall into the C category, where they will not last very long. And that means they won't do you much good. If you cannot access C-type goals, C-type affirmations, objectives, and goals, you really want to let your mind go wild here. Because you want to be inspired. So these objectives should be really, really big. They should inspire you. Here's how you know if they're C-type. You ready? Write down these three words, these three phrases. They should inspire you, excite you, and scare you. That's right. They should scare you a little bit. In fact, you know what? I decided, when I was reading that, in another passage, I decided I wanted to be scared every day. I want to live my life a little bit scared every day, because I'm convinced that we live too safe. We're pre-programmed in our subconscious to be safe. Think of all our subconscious program messages that are embedded. Our subconscious mind is on autopilot running our lives. See, the problem with this is that most psychologists will agree that most of your subconscious, which is the part of your mind that directs you, is pretty much wired by the time you're 5 years old. So what we have is a world that's being run pretty much by a bunch of five-year-olds. Okay? No wonder we have all the problems we have. Think of all the messages that have been said to us. Be careful. Take care. Drive safe. Don't do that. You'll get hurt. I don't know if you know this, but, and by the way, I'm not saying that we should say drive reckless, okay? Let's not get silly here, but you get the point. Did you know that according to studies, that just a few minutes of negative thinking, or a few minutes of negative messaging, or a few minutes of even listening to a negative, like a person speaking negatively and gossiping and going on and around, you know, like that, you know, just like giving you negative messages, negative message, negative, negative, and negative, gossip, like that. Did you know that just a few minutes of that in your thoughts and actions, that those vibrations, that energy, they can actually measure it, different machines with MRIs and EEGs and different machines, that they last 6 hours or more. They will last in your mind 6 hours or more, okay? So, you know, what you want to do with these C affirmations, these objectives and goals, is you want to get outrageous. Now, I know some of you are thinking right now, you know, you're afraid that all your friends and relatives are going to think you're crazy if you come up with these really outlandish objectives and affirmations and things you want to accomplish. I have news for you. Don't worry about it. They already know that you're crazy, so you might as well prove it to them anyway. That's my philosophy, okay? So what you want to do is you want to take these objectives. You want to take the things that you write. You say, well, what do I do with the A's and the B's? Now, guess what they are? They're going to be your checkpoints, like going from Tampa to Jacksonville, from Jacksonville to Savannah, right? They're going to be your checkpoints. I mean, before you get the director, you got to get the coach's corner. Before you get the coach's corner, you got to get the power team leader, right? So it's going to make sense that you have those checkpoints along the way. But what you want to do is you want to write these things out in present tense with detail and lots of emotion. So you want to write these things out in present tense with detail and lots of emotion, the C, inspirational objectives. You want to make them affirmations. That's the power to create. And then you want to read them every day, morning, noon, and night. You want to eat this for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, I'll read you just a few lines from some of the affirmations that Jeff and I have. We have built a network marketing organization of 50,000-plus representatives led by independent and productive leaders that are constantly building their own businesses, which is also our business. We receive $100,000-plus a month in earnings a month consistently. We keep the energy that is money in motion and always do the right things with money. And then Jeff has some different health and fitness goals, and I do in different things. And you know, some of our objectives are a little bit different, but we make sure that they're pretty tightly aligned because we're business partners. You know, but you want to eat these affirmations in present tense, detail, with emotion, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, okay? The idea is to change the image in your subconscious mind and to hold it there continually until you can begin to see it take shape in the outside world, and it will. It really will. There's a passage I want to read to you. This is just, it's so fantastic. But before I read it to you, I want to define the word providence to you. It has the word providence in it. You say, well, I know what providence means. Well, that's okay. Stick with me. I picked out the three very, very applicable definitions. Definition of providence: the foreseeing care and guidance of God or nature over the creatures of the earth. Second definition: God, especially when conceived as omnipotently directing the universe and the affairs of humankind with wise benevolence. Isn't that great? A manifestation of divine care or direction. Now, that's what providence is in this definition. Now, listen to the passage, okay, and let this wash over you. Until one is committed, wow, it starts right there, doesn't it? Until one is committed. So you've got to be sold out to C-type affirmations, even though they're kind of wild and out there. Until one is committed, there is a hesitancy, the chance to draw back. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth, that ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans. That the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issues from the decision, raising in one's favor all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which no man could have dreamed would come his way. Now look, when you get into these C-type affirmations and objectives and goals, you want to make sure that you hit these five areas, all right? Because I'm going to give you homework here in a few minutes when we close out, and this is the beginning of it. You want to create these C-type affirmations, objectives, goals. You want to create these, and you want to do at least two, probably no more than six, for each category. So between two and six for each category. And here's the categories. First category would be career, wealth, abundance. So I'm using kind of like backslashes, or you can use dashes. That's the whole first category, career, wealth, and abundance. So career, wealth, and abundance is the first category. Second category, relationships. Well, they can be, we see which relationships, all your relationships, personal, business, and other, okay? Number three can be spiritual. That's your connection to others, your connection to God, the way that you hold that, your contribution to the planet. It's everything about you that is spiritual and connected, connectedness, okay? Number four should be health and wellness. These are not in order of importance, by the way. And number five, intellect. Intellect. That is your mind. That's your self-growth. That's continuing your mental increase. That's increasing your capacity to know more, to be more, to do more. It's interesting. I was thinking back when I was looking over the notes and preparing for tonight's session, and I was thinking, you know, I'm 53 years old. I turned 53 on May 2nd. And when I was in college, I was just thinking back about technology and the world, right? I was thinking there were no ATM machines. Didn't have ATM machines. Played my music on an 8-track tape. Then when I went into college, it went to cassette tapes. Now we have CDs and downloadable MP3, right? There were no real computers as such, certainly no internet. When I went home, I had three television stations and one fourth one that beamed its signal from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore that I could just about get right if I put Reynolds wrap on aluminum foil on the rabbit ears and twisted them the right way. You know what I'm talking about, some of you. Here's the point I'm trying to make. I'm not reminiscing about the good old days or the old days or whatever. Here's the point. See, all these things were there. You understand nothing? There's no spaceship that all of a sudden delivered the internet to us. Aliens didn't come down and bring computers or additional TV, you know, television stations or cable stations or anything like that. These things were all brought into existence by C-type objectives, fantasy, right? It was that C-type thinking that made it occur. Let's begin to wrap up this part of the training, or this training tonight, okay? I want to explain to you now what I'm going to call the thinking or creating. You should put that in parentheses. The thinking or creating model. This is the thinking model. This is how we think. This is how it goes from thought to actual manifestation. See, what happens is we have a thought. I like what Byron Katie says. Byron Katie, who is the author of Loving What Is, says, thought appears. Thought appears, right? So a thought appears, it's in your conscious. From that, you build the image, okay? Now remember that thoughts are things, they're energy. They can be measured, there's no disputing that. Let's not dispute that. That's scientifically proven, it's a fact. Thoughts are energy. Okay, they can measure it with machinery. And so thoughts are energy. Are they positive or negative thoughts? Well, that's up to you. Which ones are you choosing to let in? You know, some people have thought that I'm very rude when I cut them off when they want to gossip with me. You know, someone that wants to gossip with me, they'll tell me a few things, and I'll very quickly say, excuse me, I'm sorry. Why are you telling me that? If they're telling me something bad about another person, something unfortunate about another person, I say, excuse me, why are you telling me that? They'll very often be very surprised and taken by off guard and say, well, I thought you'd want to know. And I will say, I don't, right? I don't want that negative energy in my space, okay? So this is the conscious stage of thinking. Now, now pay attention to this model. The thoughts become ideas, okay? So a thought appears. Either you think it or it gets introduced to you. by an outside source. The thought becomes an idea. Now you get to decide what to do with it. You can accept it or reject it. You can say, I don't believe that, right? I don't believe that idea. I don't believe that thought. So then it doesn't really become an idea of yours. When it becomes an idea, it gets charged with emotion. Again, more energy. So the thought is energy. Now you have emotion, which is energy amplified, all right? So now emotions intensify into your vibrations. Everyone's heard of the law of attraction, the book, the CD, the DVD, the secret, right? So what happens is your thoughts become ideas. They get charged with emotions. The emotions intensify. They become your vibration. Your vibration is expressed through your action. Your action causes a reaction, right? We call these results reactions. It's the action coming back to you, right? What you sow, you reap, right? It's said a lot of different ways from a lot of sacred books. What you sow, you reap. What you put out comes back, right? You act, something reacts, right? For every positive, there's a negative. You get the point. So we call these results. Your reaction or your results alter your conditions, your circumstances, or your environment. And then you get what you think about. So that's how you get what you think about. And this is so you should be aware of this thinking model as you start to consider your C-type affirmations, objectives, and goals. There are only two things that you can change. Did you know that? Only two things. You can change what you're doing, which is your action. And you can change the image that you hold of yourself or your thinking model. You can change what you do and you can change what you think. You can't change much about anything else. Yet we have a lot of people worried about changing, you know, everybody else's opinion and changing things here and there. I mentioned Martha earlier. I have a book on my desk. It stays on my desk. Martha gave it to me many years ago. On my birthday, as a matter of fact, she gave me the book by James Allen, As a Man Thinketh. And I keep it on my desk, a very small book, one of the most powerful books ever written. And it says, men do not attract that which they want, but that which they are. Isn't that incredible? So what you want to do is you want to start to, after you get your affirmations written out, that's what you're going to do this week, between this week and next week, when we really get into the goal setting and showing you how to make these C type of affirmations come true very quickly, actually. We're going to help you see how you can manifest these C type affirmations, objectives, and goals. You want to internalize these images. Remember, you want to relax. You want to eat these for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, okay? It helps to read them aloud with emotion every day, several times a day. Repetition increases the desire. Consistent space repetition is what builds the strength behind them. This creates a burning desire, a definiteness of purpose that Napoleon Hill talked about, that magnificent obsession he mentioned in Think and Grow Rich. And we turn that desire into immediate productive action, reaction, activity that becomes the results, right? You know, when you're doing this, remember this. You know, whether you're trying to become a power team leader, coach's corner member, a director, whether you're trying to lose weight, quit smoking, whether you're trying to make more money, do more for your family, trust your instincts. You're motivated the right sort of way. Really, you are. You care about people, don't you? Just remember this. It's not about how fast you're moving. It's about how patient and consistent you are with your commitment that ensures the arrival at your desired destination. Remember next week to tune in. We're going to give you our third and final installment of this series, Reignite Your Passion for Business and Life. And the third session is going to be entitled, Create the Plan to Guarantee Achievement. In closing, what I want to do is read to you a very short poem by James Allen from that same book, As a Man Thinketh. You ready? It's a great poem. Mind is the master power that molds and makes, and man is mine. And evermore he takes the tool of thought and shaping what he wills, brings forth 1,000 joys, 1,000 ills. He thinks in secret, and it comes to pass. Environment is but his looking glass. This has been Mark Scovern speaking to you live from Tampa Bay, Florida, and I'm very grateful for our time together this evening. Good night.